just get updates about that. Okay, perfect. And I'm so sorry, will you tell me your name?
I'm Christina. I'm Christina Rogers, assistant.
Okay, Christina.
Yeah.
Christina, will you just notify me if someone else joins and gives us a quorum?
Yeah.
Let me know who it is, because I can actually see that speak very well. It's very glaring. So are we ready to go? Or
yes, it's recording.
Perfect. All right, well, welcome everyone to the Constitutional Defense Council meeting. It's October 6th, 2025, 11-ish, yeah, that's 10 minutes exactly. And we're 11:06 a.m. We've got quite a few people online, Mark Burns, Carl Albrecht. We're hoping to maybe get a few more online, you know, form at this time, but so we'll wait to approve the minutes from the July 21st, 2025 meeting until we have a quorum. So we'll jump right into item number 3 on the agenda, which is water and timbering. Representative Albrecht and Reg Johnson will be talking about those issues with us.
Representative Albrecht, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very
nice. Can you turn that over a little bit?
Okay, so the reason I wanted this on the agenda is because, number one, we've had 3 fires in my district in the last 3 years, Beaver County, Bayou County, and Sevier County. I know the executive branch, legislative branch, leadership has met with U.S. Forest Service and working on some things that will help us do more timbering, thinning, mechanization, prescribed fires, things that will help our forest help. And I see there's 2 or 3 items on the agenda that are very much related. If we take care of our forest like we do our vegetable garden, and we get rid of the conifers, but a lot of the conifers are right now out of balance, it'll improve our water situation. The quaken aspen are these trees that hold the water in the forest. They retain their root system, the trees themselves retain the water for a lot of our rural communities and as well as our urban communities, if you consider Little Cottonwood, Big Cottonwood, all the canyons along the Wasatch Front. A lot of our water systems come from those forests from snowpack. And if we don't take care of the forest like we would our vegetable garden, pull the weeds, we thin the vegetables, then we're going to have a serious problem going forward with more catastrophic fires like I've had in my district. So, also concerning water, you know, the only dams we've built in the state of these reservoirs in the last few years have been in Washington County, and that's because of growth in that area. We need to do more of that throughout the state of Utah. I know there's been sites identified, and we just need to get on with that process. Our pioneers took care of us with all the reservoirs that they built in the state of Utah, but we need to do more as the state grows. And those reservoirs would not only supply water, and it provides recreation, economic development, and all kinds of things. So I'm involved in a special session in Salt Lake, and that's all I'll say. I noticed the next item by Mr. Pollock talks about forest health, and he's had some meetings back in D.C. with Mr. Schultz, and he has some ideas on how we could do that. And I know Jeff Myers has some concerns about it on the agenda as well. I'll stop at that point. I think you all know where I'm coming from. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Albrecht, real quick before you go, do you have any areas where you see the need specifically for those new reservoirs?
Yeah, but I hesitate to say where they are right now.
Okay.
I know there's some thought about running some legislation on new reservoirs. Once that item is opened up, a lot of concern from environmental groups. We also need to dredge some reservoirs that serve irrigation companies, because especially in the southern part of the state, you get monsoons, and those ponds and reservoirs are filled with silt. And so there's a lot of work we need to do in that area, but I'd rather not identify sites at this meeting just yet.
Okay. Thank you, Representative.
But just a couple of things on the timber harvesting front. Many of you may have seen the article in the Deseret News this weekend talking about the need to do more work up the Little Canyon. Back at the turn of the century, early 1800s, it's true, we probably over-harvested those canyons. That was the only material that we had for developing Salt Lake City and all of those areas, so I'm not going to throw stones by any means at our pioneer heritage or the pioneers who did that. We did go back and we planted millions of conifer trees to replace that. And then, so if you go up there now, we have like a single age class trees. They're all over competing for the water resources. And now we're starting to see some beetle kill like we saw up here on the Bryanhead Fire. And I do have a serious concern with thick and little Cottonwood Canyon and those areas becoming the next Bryanhead Fire. And we see a fire up there. Forestry Department State Lands has been doing great work on some of the private lands, but we also have moose rule polygons up there. We have wilderness areas, and we've got to figure out a way to do active management in some of those. And it's not, taking out every tree in a watershed by any means. That's not what we're talking about. But thinning the trees, having the appropriate numbers of trees per acre, returning some of the areas to aspen stands where appropriate. So, this is to Carl's point. It is just managing the forest for the best forest health that we have, and they are not a natural system that we have up there. We have a difficult time getting the social license from people, especially people that have moved in that aren't familiar with what these forests should look like. They're familiar with how they look right now, and they want them to look like that forever, and that's just not the natural. It's not a natural system, and so that's why we need to be the stewards of those forests and do active management. It's not going to be easy because of the roadless rule, because of the wilderness areas, and because of that lack of social license, but it is something that's critical to be done, and not just for Salt Lake County, but for a lot. I mean, every community in the West, basically, the mountains are watersheds, and we need to change the paradigm and start doing more active management.
Madam Chair, we have a call now. Bob Stevenson joined.
Oh, excellent. Welcome, Commissioner Stevenson. If we don't mind, I will take a motion to approve the minutes of the July 21st, 2025 meeting.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Yes, I have a second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Discussion to the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Let's jump back down to item number four, forest health, which Red was kind of leading us into. And we will, unless you have anything else, we will turn time over then to Commissioner Leland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With your permission, I'd like to defer this discussion to executive session time.
Okay. That's fine with me. Then we move to item number five on the agenda, which 5, 6, and 7 are all Commissioner Celeste Myers, and I'll turn the time over to you.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I'm just so thrilled to be part of this group, and it's been a dream and for Kane County and for myself personally. Thank you all for your patience and being so welcoming. I don't know what's allowed and not allowed, so I just thought I'd try some stuff. The first item is discuss and vote on whether to share / adopt the resolution urging the United States Forest Service to immediately deploy emergency authorities to mitigate catastrophic wildfire through fuel reduction efforts and the full release of timber sales in Utah and northern Arizona. So this was a resolution passed by the Five County Association of Governments in Southwest Utah, including Kane, Garfield, Beaver, Washington, and Iron counties, and it kind of enumerates some harms caused by lack of adaptive and comprehensive forest management, and then calls for some mitigating efforts that could and should be adopted. So this is basically just a bringing this decision to this body to say, hey, if you all agree, then we could, with administrative help, pass a similar resolution or the same resolution or put our names on it, and then move that up the chain or along the chain to hopefully just create a groundswell of awareness. Sounds like we're all very much on the same page right now, and this is just reinforcing and affirming that this is speaking excruciatingly critical to Utah, the West, and the state's rights.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just a process question to the lawyers in the room. Do we need to have a specific resolution noticed and on the agenda other than this to be able to pass it the state's five counties? Do we need to have a different one?
I think we get a vote to adopt a substantially similar resolution.
Okay.
Since we do have this one on the packet, okay, it's been included, you vote on that same type of resolution.
Okay.
The same provision.
Okay.
But you're right, if we did get outside that, then get it.
Okay. All right, so does that conclude your presentation on this item?
Yes.
Okay. We should call it?
I would make a motion to adopt a similar resolution to the Biden County Association of Governments resolution regarding catastrophic fires.
Okay. Do I have a second? Do we got a motion and a second? Is any discussion to that motion? All right. Seeing none, I will go ahead and place the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I rule the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Item number 6.
Okay, thank you. In a similar vein, this is a resolution also passed by Kane County and then later by the Five County Association of Governments, which calls for or expresses support for the rebuilding of the historic North Rim Lodge following destruction from the Dry and Bravo fire, closely related to what we're just describing. Lack of comprehensive proactive management has led to mega fires. Almost all of the kind of has burned now in between the White Sage fire, the Mangum fire, and the Dragon Bravo fire. The only thing that hasn't burned is the rocks, pretty much. This greatly impacts Utah because we are substantially the only gateway community even though the north rim of the Grand Canyon is situated in northern Arizona for now, we are really the communities that are impacted economically from the shutdown of the north rim, and we are very much hoping for a rebuild of not only as soon as possible, but for year-round visitation. Currently, it's closed approximately 6 months out of the year. It would be a big, big difference to our area and our state if we could take back those state's rights and have the lodge rebuilt expediently.
Thank you. All right, so we have a motion or a discussion?
I'll make a motion.
Commissioner? Do we have a second? Let's go, so we'll come up back.
Sorry,
good. Right. Should I call a second to the motion? Any discussion for the motion?
I just wanted to in support of that as well. We were in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago and had those conversations with the interior and that, you know, we've been talking with our congressional folks and Congresswoman Malloy has specifically had those conversations as well. So I think everybody, like you said earlier, is everyone's on the same page about all of these issues.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I will go ahead, as Senator Sandel, just for your awareness, there's a motion on the table to adopt the resolution urging a complete and timely rebuild of the Grand Canyon North Rim for year-round full access. That's item number 6 on the agenda, and we are just now voting on that. And I will place the motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion
passes
unanimously. All right, we are just cruising. Item number 7. Discuss or vote on support for urging interagency disposal of big harvesters in our land management Mr. Myers.
Okay, thank you. Once again, we set this up earlier this year with the new administration. The BLM district manager, Harry Barber, approached the county and said, we are considering disposal when the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument was created, which engulfs over 80% of King County and almost all of Garfield County. There were multiple visitor centers created as kind of a community give back in exchange for taking all that land, 1.9 million acres. And then the... Okay, so since that time, rarely has the visitor center been open. It was built in the, like I said, the mid-90s, but it's rarely been... used and accessed. The federal agencies have failed to keep it accessible to the public. There's approximately 150 people that want to visit that visitor center every day on an average daily travel. And very recently, with that announcement, the BLM has started to allow King County's Tourism Department as well as Big Water Town staff the center and have it open, so it's been consistently open and having between 130 and 250 visitors a day for the past month or so. We are still trying to work on getting the building. There was some talk at one point of having the town of Big Water have the building, but in further discussions and exploration, it's become apparent that it would be best for the county to maintain ownership of that building. And we want to keep it as a visitor center, but where we're getting a little bit of a fantastic point is that the federal GSA, I think it's called General Services, something that has to do with procurement and disposal, there's just a little bit of a red tape hang-up. They're unsure whether or not we want to keep it as a visitor center. We're just kind of not hearing any news, and we would like to move on this item to go ahead and have the state of Utah as well as our local area benefit from having the visitor center with an assurance of future use.
Okay. So there's a letter here. Do you want us to potentially either sign on to this letter or draft one similar?
Yes, either one of those would be fine. I went back and forth about whether or not to ask for to have this be a resolution and also whether or not to ask this body to pass a resolution. I think a letter of support would be helpful, and I'm basically calling on the help of the state to step in and coordinate on our behalf with the BLM and the federal administration to, I guess, expedite the process.
Okay. Any Any discussion on this one? We've got some.
Madam Chair, can I interject the fact that our office, Senator Lee's office, has kind of launched into whatever process the GSA must go through? And so we are well aware of that and are pursuing every avenue we can to help with the traffic.
Thank you. Would a letter from this body be helpful in those efforts?
Absolutely.
Any discussion on the item or motion?
I was just going to say, I would be happy to staff that and draft a letter and get it out for signature.
Okay.
Chair, we're also just discussing there might be an opportunity on the recreation public purposes that we can ever use that for a building. I don't know why it wouldn't qualify, but we'd have to do some research on that. But I think there are options between us and Senator Lee's office. I think we can.
Thank you. We would love it for it to be an RMPP. There was a little bit of pushback initially, them thinking that we weren't going to keep it for public purpose. We are planning to keep it for public purpose. It's a 5-acre campus, though, and there's some hope of some retail space and other things on the acreage that doesn't have the structure, and so that might preclude RMPP.
So you can do, it depends on how that's structured. If the proceeds from retail go back to support the property, then you could do it like for the fairgrounds, right? So things like that, but it would depend on how it's structured. That you could do RPPA for the majority of it, and then if there's something that's truly just retail that, you know, is going to go to private businesses, and that would be something that part of would have to be something you'd work with Lee's office on kind of the disposal process.
But I don't think that this letter is specific enough to make it not get us into a jam.
I would like the letter. Let it come together and draft the council can sign up.
Okay, got a motion to have to draft a letter in support. Any second or?
I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Pollack seconds the motion. Discussion of the motion?
This is maybe not a discussion to the motion, but on all three of these items, would it be possible for us to receive, the body to receive these once they're completed and executed so that we can disperse?
Thank you. All right. I will go ahead and place the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no one in opposition, I will vote that motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right. Item number 8 on the agenda is a council roundtable. This is an opportunity to bring stuff up, talk about.
Yeah. Did you want to go into executive?
Well, we're going to do executive after public comment.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is there anything anybody would like to bring up in the council roundtable?
Can I just say very quickly how much I really appreciate the federal delegation, the state administration, and this body, and how we're all, I feel, working together in tandem and amplifying our efforts.
Thank you. And it's really good to have Senator Lee's office represented here, so thank you for being here.
Hi. Madam Chair, this is Kathy Davis, staff for the committee. I just wondered if you still had a quorum. You need a quorum before you go into closed session. And you also have to announce the purpose of the closed session.
Yes.
We still have a quorum.
We okay. Still have a quorum. Anything else for the council roundtable? Fresh. We'll do public comment after that. We have the public here with us today to provide some public comment, which we're happy for. This is Bill Howell, we're happy to turn a minute or two over to you. Thank you for coming, Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the moment to speak to you. I recognize the shortness of the time, so I'll be as quick as possible. I want to share with you some information and then follow that with an observation. So the information I'm going to, I didn't want to misstate anything, so I wrote it down, and so pardon me while I read it. You're familiar with the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 1, which is the admissions clause for the new states into the unions. and note that it says new states may be admitted into this union. New states may be admitted into this union. In 1868, in the case of the state of Texas v. White, the federal government, the Supreme Court, defined what a state is. If Congress is allowed to admit states, what is a state? And it's important to note the components that constitute a state. This is what the court defined it as. In the Constitution, the term state most frequently expresses the combined idea, just noticed, of people, territory, and government. A state, in the ordinary sense of the Constitution, is a political community of free citizens occupying a territory of defined boundaries and organized under a government sanctioned and limited by a written constitution and established by the consent of the governed. Those three things constitute what a state is: a defined extent of territory occupied by a body politic exercising sovereign jurisdiction over that defined extent of territory. Okay, pretty simple. The Utah Enabling Act of 1894 says, be it enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled, that the inhabitants of all that part of the area of the United States now constituting the territory of Utah, as presently described, may become the state of Utah as hereinafter provided. Okay, we know what a state is, three things, right? All of that area defined as the territory of Utah may become the state of Utah. There is no exception, I might point out parenthetically, for public lands that happen to be within that defined area. All of it may become the state. All of it may become subject to the sovereign jurisdiction of the inhabitants therein, according to the definition of a state by the Supreme Court. Acting on state that day, 2 years later, that was 1894, 1896, January 4th, acting territorial governor C.C. Richards addressed the assembled people of the city of Salt Lake on Temple Square and made the following statement, which was recorded in the Salt Lake Tribune on that day. Under the provisions of the Constitution of the state and the proclamation of the president, the time has arrived when the federal government is to withdraw from the control of the affairs of the territory and to surrender it to the people and to the native son of Utah, being the governor, who has been chosen to be the governor of the new state. Our happiness consists largely in coming here and laying aside and sundering, absolutely abandoning the bondage of a territorial system. And from this time forth, we will exercise every right and every privilege of free-born American citizens. He had in mind the definition of a state as described by the Supreme Court in 1868. Now we move forward to 1976, the Supreme Court's opinion in Pepe v. New Mexico. I suspect that most of you, probably all of you, are familiar with this, but I'll emphasize it. The court said a number of things, but this particular passage stands out. Even over public lands within the states, we're talking 67% of the state of Utah, even over public land within the states, the general government, which is Congress, has a power over its own property analogous to the police powers of the several states. And the extent to which it can go in the exercise of such power is measured by the exigencies of the particular case. Now they close the door. Congress exercises the powers of both a proprietor and of a legislature over the public domain. Both of a proprietor and of a legislature over the public domain. Now Blackstone has said that legislature and sovereignty are equivalent and interchangeable terms. If the Supreme Court is correct here, that Congress, not that group up on the hill which you had, not that group, if Congress is the legislature with municipal authority under the supremacy clause over the public lands of the state of Utah, then has the state of Utah actually been admitted into the Union if only states can be admitted? If the legislature for the 67% of the state of Utah is in Congress, what is the state of Utah? What really is the state of Utah? Have we actually become the state that our Enabling Act provides? Our Enabling Act says all of that territory, and now the court is saying that over 67% of that area, the legislature, the sovereign legislature with supremacy authority, is in Congress. What happened to the... Now, here's my observation, I'll close. The observation is this. There is a gross and glaring disparity between the promise made to the inhabitants of the territory of Utah in 1894 in our Enabling Act compact with the United States and the reality that we see in Utah here today. We have never obtained, we have never achieved the promise of our Enabling Act compact. We are being denied that, and I submit to you for your consideration, and I hope you'll look into it. We are denied our constitutional right of sovereign statehood. Period. I'm done. Thank you.
Mr. Howell, you are preaching to the choir. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for coming and for that very enlightening historical background
that
you gave us.
One final thing, Madam Chair. I have a tendency to sit at the computer and write, and this is a booklet that I've done fairly recently. If anybody is prone to reading, you can distribute that to whomever would like to have it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other public comment? Anybody online who would like to offer a couple of comments?
Just staff online.
Just staff online. Okay. Do we have still a quorum?
Yes.
Okay. We do have an executive session if the body chooses to move into it to discuss any proposed litigation. Do I have a motion?
Motion to go into executive session regarding potential litigation.
Discussion. Second? Do we have a second?
Okay.
Okay. We've got a second and a motion. Discussion of the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We are in executive session.